Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and I'm joined today by Tristan Beckman. And you are probably wondering, why are you putting out a podcast on a Monday? This is not the week recap. That'll come tomorrow with Jonders. This is something sadder. It's a funeral. It's a funeral. Yep. For the Denver Broncos, because 4 weeks into the season is over. The season is truly over. It seems as if there is no coming back from 0-4, and with the way the team has played, it wouldn't shock me if they won a few games this year. But they are certainly not a playoff team, and I don't think they're anywhere near being a contender. So I wanted to do one show just focused strictly on what the Broncos, my team, are doing wrong, because if you've listened to this show long enough, you know I really hate podcasts that only focus on one team. I like a podcast that focuses on everyone, that listens to everyone, that treats every team as kind of an equal and talks about every single team. Try to do that here. But I don't want to talk about the Broncos every week. It doesn't make sense. They aren't a worthwhile team to talk about. So a lot can change in 12 weeks, I know, but it certainly seems like this is a lost season for the Broncos. So I wanted to bring Broncos fan Tristan Beckman here, so I wouldn't be the only one crying myself to sleep tonight, and try to figure out what the hell comes next, what the problem is, and kind of how the Broncos as a whole fix the problem. So I want to start with the game yesterday, and I guess I have some questions here, Tristan, but before I get to those, what was your biggest takeaway from that game yesterday?
I think the biggest takeaway was the fact that the defense couldn't get off the field in the second half. I think that's a serious issue. They can't make a takeaway, no pun intended, but they can't force a takeaway, you know. That's a serious issue. They haven't had one takeaway all season. They finally got their first few sacks, but, you know, Leonard Fournette ran all over our defense in the second half, and I'm worried about that because we've played some good running backs on the schedule and some that are even more talented than Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, I think I would – kind of agree. I thought the biggest issue was the pass coverage. I thought it was kind of really disappointing that the Jaguars, and credit where credit is due, Gardner Minshew is a good quarterback. He is not a franchise player by any means, but he will get the job done, and his ceiling is someone who can keep you afloat. But just the way he carved up the Broncos defense yesterday and the secondary was shocking. But at the same time, it shouldn't have been, because that is what teams have done to the Broncos all year, I would argue, is kill them in the secondary. Pulling up the stats here. 213 yards through the air for the Jags. That's not a terrible day, but most of that was allowed in the second half. The team just completely fell asleep at halftime, which is just a total problem and something you have to worry about as well. But I was most concerned by also, yes, I would agree, the rushing defense.
Yeah, that's the pass coverage is a serious issue too. They don't have a real legit number two cornerback right now. Bryce Callahan, the guy they signed, hasn't played a game. He probably won't play for six more weeks.
That's a huge problem.
Yeah,
that's a huge problem. And we'll talk more about Elway later. But you cannot pay a guy that's going to miss half the season. Like,
facts.
You can't. You have to have all your players available, and especially because they knew this was a risk coming in, they didn't pay him a ton, but still, you can't go out and sign people that aren't there. And I get Kareem Jackson didn't play in this game. I know that was a huge, huge loss because Isaac Yiadom cannot cover an NFL wide receiver.
Yeah, cannot.
He just got burnt all day. That's not saying there aren't good things about the secondary. We'll get to the good things later, but That was the biggest problem for me. Moving on to these questions now. This game, at halftime, the Broncos were up 17-3. They were largely in control of this game. What went wrong, Tristan?
I think that the coaching got complacent, the team got complacent on defense, and, you know, that opening drive the second half where the Jaguars, they took 10 and a half minutes off the clock. That really exhausted the Broncos defense, and you could tell for the remainder of the game. But I think the big thing was probably the last couple drives of the first half I thought really hurt the Broncos, because the first thing I want to talk about is it's 17-3 and it's the second to last drive of the first half. We're first and 10 from the Jaguars' 11-yard line. We're moving the ball down the field, and there's an intentional grounding penalty because Flacco just doesn't throw it away to where a player is. Then it's like first and 23 from the 23, and we settle for 3 when we probably were going to get 7. The offense was rolling, just run the ball on first down. I don't understand why they didn't do that. And then the killer pick on the next drive where we were driving down the field again and we were going to get at least 3 points. And instead, Jags get the ball. They get a field goal at 17-6 at halftime. And then they come out and score a touchdown on a pretty dominant drive.
Yeah, for me, that pick was really where you felt it all shift. And I don't – like – Joe Flacco, man, I don't know. Like, at this point, am I wrong to think he's just shiny Case Keenum? Like, he's just Case Keenum that makes a few more plays.
I mean, yeah, you could say that. I mean, I personally think he's a lot better than Case Keenum, but I think that, you know, you're still restricting yourself there with that kind of quarterback. You're not, you know, achieving your full potential. And, you know, they're not that good at this point in their careers. Case Keenum's had one good year. He hasn't been good in many other years. Flacco was good back in the day with the Ravens, but this team doesn't fit for him, obviously. I mean, he's looked good at times, and then there's those killer picks that he's had 3 of in the last 3 games. And those can't happen. Those have probably all – they've all shifted the momentum, certainly, in all 3 of the games. I just don't know why John – we'll talk about John Elway later, I guess. But that's a whole other story.
Right. Yeah, so that's – kind of the game. And then the crushing news this morning that really just came out of nowhere. Bradley Chubb is done for the year with an ACL. I was shocked by this news. I don't know about you.
I was as well.
Like, he had cramps throughout the day yesterday.
Yeah,
but
I saw that.
But it didn't look on any particular play like he tore his ACL, and you wake up today, it's just a partial tear, but he's still out for the entire year.
I saw that news.
People outside of people that watch for Broncos a ton probably don't know how good Bradley Chubb is. He's
really good.
Arguably, for the last 8 weeks from last year to this year, was one of the best young defensive players in the entire NFL. I think it was something crazy like 13 sacks, 24 tackles for loss in the past 8 weeks. Like, he is insane.
He's really good.
A Von Miller, Khalil Mack type talent.
Yep.
To emerge. And you even saw that early in this game. I know he had one sack. I believe he had two, correct?
He had a sack with a torn ACL. I think that tells you something about Bradley Chubb.
Yeah.
He had right there.
But he also had
another sack before that.
A sack before that as well. So he had two sacks yesterday.
And he made a lot of good plays too. He actually made a few good plays in coverage, which he rarely should be asked to do. But Fangio has an insistence on putting him and Vaughn in coverage for no reason. But, I mean, he's still – we talked about it a couple shows ago. He's a great run defender. He's gotten way better at that. And the sacks are going to come with him. And he's a phenomenal edge rusher. And it sucks that he has to go down like this. And it really sucks for anybody. But for a guy that, you know – he's a tough kid. He really cares, and he's the building block of this future of the Broncos, and they're going to miss him for the rest of the season. It's tough, but, you know, the good thing, which there's not many good things from this, is that we're 0-4. There's, you know, what are we – have this happen now than when we're 4-0 in 2023 or something, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Oh man, I don't know. We'll get to that later. But it's just a crushing loss for the Broncos. It's a terribly sad injury, and for someone who's going to have to watch the Broncos for the next little while, and I'll admit I'm about to jump out on this season and just watch other teams, because it's too depressing to watch this team play right now. Because they find ways to lose. And I don't know, man. That's my biggest takeaway is you can blame refs. You can blame bad calls. You can blame all this outside stuff. But the fact of the matter is bad teams find ways to lose. And the Broncos should have won their first two games at home, and they couldn't because their defense
couldn't get a stop.
In the end, couldn't make stops. And that was supposed to be the bread and butter of this team.
Yep.
And the fact of the matter is, the defense is bad. The defense is a bad defense. It might get sacks, but overall, it is a bad defense.
I think there's just holes. There's a lot of holes in the defense. You know, you got the talent there. There's just a few holes that are – obviously you have the biggest position that you need is inside linebacker, and we don't have an inside linebacker. You know, no disrespect to Todd Davis, but, you know, he's not a tradition. He's not the inside linebacker we need.
He's not good. He's not incredibly bad.
He's good against the run. That's it.
But he's average. And
he's not fast, and that hurts us. We need a guy in there who can be a field general.
And as friend of the program, you say, Koshal says, Vic Fangio's defense revolves around having a fast middle linebacker like a Roquan Smith.
Yeah, I was shocked when they didn't draft Devin Bush last year.
The defense desperately needs – a linebacker, and it's kind of come to fruition over the past few years with Elway taking a lot of offensive players that it is finally kind of caught up, and the defense is no longer the strength of this team. Moving on to what went right, I would argue the offense is a strength of this team.
Yeah, it's stronger than the defense.
Because if you throw Joe Flacco out of it, Courtland Sutton has emerged as a number one NFL wide receiver.
As a
true number one overall wide receiver. Now, that's not to say he's a top 10 wide receiver or anything like that, but he has 309 receiving yards this year. He has 22 receptions. He has 31 targets, two touchdowns this year. He is tied with Emmanuel Sanders with the league for the team lead in touchdowns. And he is a solid wide receiver that has room for growth. And then you look at I'll let you go next with who you like, because I'm sure I'll take some of your guys. But I have been extremely impressed with Courtland Sutton. He's a great guy kind of to build around, and he was a lot of the reason the game was close on Sunday. He dominated.
Yeah, I was going to talk about Sutton too. I mean, I'll just drop a fact before I go into my player. He's on pace for 128 targets, 1,236 receiving yards, and 8 receiving touchdowns. And this guy is the future number one of the Broncos. He's a stud. You know, I'm still waiting on the Deshaun Hamilton breakout game, because if I don't see that this season, then we're going to really have to draft or sign a number two receiver, because I don't
see, I think his stats are deceiving though. Cause I think on film, he's been a much better receiver than
I've seen the plays from Deshaun.
He's not being targeted. That's a problem.
Yeah, that's true. He's not getting targets. The interesting thing for me is I do want to see, you know, I think that my takeaway was Garrett Bowles looked good. It hurts me to say that for some reason, but he didn't have a holding penalty yesterday. And,
right.
You know, that's what we need. We don't need those killer penalties. And, you know, penalties weren't an issue yesterday, really. The roughing the passer penalty late in the game, that was roughing the passer on Von Miller. And, you know, I'm pretty sure Von even said that. He said, you know, that was my bad. That was actually roughing the passer. It's not the ref's fault, you know. But, you know, Garrett Bowles looked good. I still think that you have to move on from him after this season. And I think we will. Not sure what we can get for him, maybe a fifth rounder. I think that'd be very generous. But we'll see. You know, Emmanuel Sanders still looks like his old self, and, you know, he's getting older. He probably doesn't fit into this team's plans for 2020 and beyond, but I'm glad to see him back and fully recovered from that Achilles injury, because he's a great guy, and he really does care about winning football games, and it sucks that we have to endure this with him on the team, and it's probably his final year as Bronco.
Yeah. Sorry, I had a brain fart there. Whose final year might it be as a Bronco again?
Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, and we'll get to that later. He has played extremely well, and there was a scary moment in that fourth quarter drive where it looked like he hurt his Achilles again, but he was fine. He got the key catch of the drive, and he looks fully back and healthy and ready to go, and he's been just as good as Sutton has. For me, Royce Freeman continues to impress.
Both of them. For me, honestly.
Yeah.
I think they're one of the best running back duos in the NFL. And, you know, I tweeted that yesterday, and I caught a lot of flack for it. But, you know, honestly, think about duos, and those are two good guys. They're both part of the team's future.
They both have about 380 plus total yards from scrimmage. That's a huge number for both of them. I think Royce Freeman, I don't know what changed this year. Maybe it's just that he's gotten more touches, but he is truly a great NFL talent, and I think he could be a starter on any other NFL team.
He would be.
I am incredibly impressed by the Broncos backfield. That's another good thing. The one player I'm unsure of on the Broncos offense is Noah Fant.
I still, it's way too early
because
really, for me.
Yes, he has good plays, and yes, he has 130 yards receiving this year, but he just killer penalties in key spots.
That's the big issue with
killer penalties in key spots.
But
he killed the Broncos against the Raiders. He was the reason the offense in the first half wasn't able to get started against the Raiders. He took back a great Royce Freeman run in this game. It seems like every single game he just has one of these head-scratching, terrible offensive penalties that you just cannot take.
Yep, I get what you're saying. But, I mean, this is a guy that – you know, we haven't had a tight end that can stretch the field like he can, like he has since Julius Thomas. And
right.
the blocking will get better, I think. I firmly believe this is a rookie. I mean, he wasn't asked to block a lot at Iowa. That was most of T.J. Hockenson. He did most of the blocking. Obviously, we'd like Fant to be more polished at it, but he's going to get better with time. And you see the potential and the flashes of a guy that can – stretch the field and be a game changer in the future for this team.
All right. The tough question. What are the Broncos right now? Because 2 years ago, or even a year ago, I would have said the Broncos are a middling team with a wild card ceiling. But after the past 2 years, I don't think you can deny it. This is not a playoff team. Mm-hmm. They are certainly nowhere near a Super Bowl contender. They are, I wouldn't say they're the worst. I don't think that's true because there's talent on this team.
Yeah, there is talent.
But I just, I don't know, man. What do you think they are right now?
I think they're stuck in a rebuild right now. I think that they have to move forward with it. I think Elway's, you know, been holding it off. And, you know, it sucks because we have these guys like, you know, Von Miller and Chris Harris and Emmanuel Sanders, Derek Wolfe, these veterans who are reaching their past their prime years. And I get why the Broncos, you know, they were quietly rebuilding kind of behind the scenes with the draft and stuff. But, you know, you're trying to stay competitive, and you just have to commit to it. I don't think we've done that. You know, he's always brought in some good pieces, but he's whiffed on a lot. We talked about Callahan. I mean, you need a guy who's going to play, especially if you're signing him to that kind of money. And, you know, there's some big holes that just have not been patched, and that's hurting the team. You know, this is a franchise. It expects to win, and it's not getting that done right now. And, you know, that's an issue.
Yeah. I mean, you said it perfectly. It's a franchise that can't get out of its own way, and that doesn't really know where they are. So I want to ask you, because I see this on Twitter a lot and things like this. Should the Broncos be thinking about starting to trade away players?
Tell me the players you think they should trade away.
Well, I don't think they should trade away.
Or tell me the players Twitter thinks they should trade away.
Chris Harris, Emmanuel Sanders.
Okay. My comments on that is you're trying to trade guys in the final year of their contract. It's similar to how Demaryius Thomas was, and these guys are older than Demaryius Thomas. Sanders is 2 years older than Demaryius Thomas was last year. So, I mean, yeah, he looks better, but what NFL team – what are we getting from an NFL team at this point? Especially because we're probably not going to trade him till week eight. You get him for 8 weeks of the season. And obviously teams probably still have concerns that, you know, that Achilles injury, what if it pops up? What if something pops up again? I don't think you're going to get that much for either of these guys. I think you'd get more from Chris Harris than you would from Emmanuel. I think at the most, you're looking at a third rounder for Chris Harris Jr. And I think, honestly, unless you can get a third rounder from this year and you're confident in that pick being not so – and you're confident in using that pick for a productive purpose and not trading it to trade down, or, you know, you got to really understand that here's a pick that we're going to rely on, I think that you're not going to be able to trade him. You're just going to take the comp picks for those guys, which you'll get in 2021. You'll probably get a third rounder for one of them and maybe a fourth rounder for the other. But ultimately, it's whatever Elway decides to do, and I don't like that. I don't like putting this in Elway's hands because he's going to mess it up.
Yeah.
And Von Miller's not getting traded. That's not happening.
I mean, yeah, I would.
Unless somebody offers – 3 first rounders for Von Miller, I can't see a scenario where they even Elway might try to agree to a trade, but ownership's not going to approve it. Von Miller brings so much to this franchise, money from the outside, right, and then, you know, popularity, most popular player on the team. So can't right. trade that.
So Elway, let's talk about it. I have been on the fire John Elway train, you know me, for far longer yeah. than anyone in this entire world. He's not the right guy for the job. And that's he's my not. Question to you. Is he the right guy for the job? He cannot find a quarterback. That is the number one thing. And sure, thank you for signing Peyton Manning. He fell into your lap. We got one Super Bowl. That was great. But this franchise has this weird thing with him where they feel indebted to him, and I get it. But it has been 6 years. It has been 6 years, right, since the Broncos last made the playoffs.
Four?
Yeah,
it feels like six, though, right?
Feels like – I can't be right because we
2015,
had
– 2015, we won the Super Bowl.
2015. But then – I count that as the 2014 season.
Yeah, so that means 5 years.
So 5 years. Like, for most, after this, counting this year, it'll be six. And it's just, what other franchise lets a GM sit around that long and not make the playoffs and not improve the team?
They just don't. They don't have the guts to fire him. Ownership has been a problem. I'm pretty sure they got the ownership thing sorted out, but there was a whole ownership dispute. I'm pretty sure you've heard. I know you know yeah. about that, but that might be an issue. He should be done in Denver, and I think this is the last straw. You know, great. He brought in a great 2018 draft class. That was his one highlight. This last year, okay, it looks like an okay draft class, but it looks like you messed up by trading down. You could have had Devin Bush, but we got Noah Fant. It's still too early to say, but, you know, you got Dalton Risner. He's a solid player. Not sure any – I have no idea about Drew Locke. I seriously have no idea. So I'm not ready to, you know, really determine the result of the Broncos draft class. But why have we not, you know, looked towards other options with Elway? I mean, you know, his demand on building an old-school team that can just – run the football and win with defense. He's not built it at all, and he's built it all the wrong ways. He thinks Joe Flacco's in his prime. That's a serious issue. Should probably get that his mental health checked out. you know, it's just time to start a new era in Denver, and I get it, man. This guy won 2 Super Bowls for Denver. You know, it's going to be hard to let this guy go. I think that, honestly, you moved Elway to a different role within the organization. You know, I think it's beneficial for both sides. You can't just let him go because he's done so much for the city, but you can move him to a lower role and say, here, you're going to have less control over the players and the construction of the roster. We're going to let a new guy in. We're going to start a new era here in Denver, bring in a new mantra, you know, bring in a new philosophy on winning. And that would be the best move for both sides, I think, at this point.
Right. I don't think moving him to another place is a smart move. I think you just need to cut ties because he is so clearly mishandled this whole quarterback thing. And if you keep him for another year, he is going to insist staying with Drew Lock, and you will miss out on a generational quarterback class if you keep him another year. I'm not
saying move him to another role where he still has control over anything.
No, I'm just saying he needs to be done with the team. He had his chance. Yeah, he didn't do his job.
I agree with that, but I just can't see him doing that.
Right. I don't know, man. Just seems like it's tough. I just hope he, I don't know. I'm just at kind of a loss for who is going to stand up to this guy. Like,
I have no idea.
Like, it's almost to the point where if you're a fan, like, and I'll say it, I've been thinking about it a lot recently. What would it take for me to stop being a Broncos fan? I think if they kept John Elway, Drew Lock didn't work out, and they passed on a quarterback this year, I might have to be out. Because,
yeah, I mean, that would be a severely messed up situation.
Like, I don't know. It could happen. Like,
if it gets that ugly, I'd consider it too.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
You want to talk about Drew Lock?
Yeah. Well, what do you think this guy is? Because in the preseason, I don't know. He didn't really impress me.
I just can't judge off preseason because he's playing with third stringers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not getting the guys that he normally would play with once he becomes a starter. Obviously, he didn't look too good, but, you know, first week he can come off injured reserve is November 3rd. They play the Cleveland Browns at home, which would be an interesting first game for him. I think at this rate, if this team continues to play like this, he'll get activated as soon as he gets off the IR and he'll start playing. Because hopefully John Elway does not have a say in that. Because if he does, Flacco will keep playing. But I'm interested to see how he plays with the first team. You know, watching him at Missouri, he's experienced. He started 3 years there. He's a risk taker. You know, something that Flacco is probably not. You know, Flacco doesn't throw it too far down the field most of the time. I think he had the best deep ball in the draft class. Many people thought that. And I thought that too. He's not purely a pocket passer like Joe Flacco, which is good. You know, gone are the days of the non-mobile quarterback. We need a mobile guy, a guy who's mobile enough at least to move around and pick up some yardage if he has to when the pocket collapses. His supporting cast at Missouri was awful. So when you watch game film, you're going to see a lot of dropped passes that he places perfectly. It happens. But the offense for him needs to be built around the deep ball, the chunk plays, and, you know, the intermediate passes. That's why I think they should keep Sanders around. Sanders will help for these last – for once Lock starts playing. It gives him an experienced veteran target, you know, alongside Sutton, and, you know, keeps the field open for options. And it's – Lock is more suited for this offense, for this Scangarello offense that everybody's been talking about. He's more suited for it than Flacco. It's just a question of whether he's ready or not. And I'm not sure. I don't know. None of us know, I really believe.
Yeah, it'll just be extremely interesting to see the way they respond. I think to when inevitably this quarterback shift happens.
I just want to go through the free agents that we have this year, and like Von Miller has a club option. I forgot about that. I mean, most obviously he's probably getting that picked up.
Right.
Chris Harris, Emmanuel Sanders, Derek Wolf, they're all three gone.
Yeah.
Barring some dramatic shift in the organization where we think we can contend next season.
So maybe it is worth trading those guys.
Yeah, I just don't know if you'll get that much for him. It just depends. Ronald Leary, club option. I'd say decline that. For $9 million, I think we can do better than a 31-year-old.
I don't think so. I think he's been the only bright spot on that offensive line for 2 years.
He's had a couple killer penalties too, man. I just don't know. Depends on how he plays the rest of the year, though. I'm not going to say definitively. Shelby Harris, I don't know yet. I haven't seen too much from him this year. Theo Riddick, I don't even – yeah, whatever. Justin Simmons, they need to re-sign him. I didn't even know he was a free agent the next year. Other than that, there's nothing – there's nobody really too big. But they need to get what I think they need. I mean, I don't know what you think they need, but there's a lot of needs. I think you got to get a receiver to replace Emmanuel Sanders. I think that should come from the draft, honestly. I'm not sure who the free agent wide receivers are this year, but they need a linebacker. We already talked about that. That has to happen this offseason. They have to get a fast linebacker, or else the Fangio defense isn't even going to work. Like, dead serious. They need some more young and talented cornerbacks. They need to draft these guys. They need to sign a couple guys. Chris Harris is probably gone. Bring in some new cornerbacks. They probably need another safety alongside Justin Simmons, presuming they aren't stupid and don't let him walk. Then you probably have to, you know, redo the offensive line a little bit, you know, make a few changes. We already talked about bowls and stuff. You know, if Locke doesn't look good, you go with the quarterback. And then you got to get some interior D linemen. Other than that, I think you got guys that you can build around. And you just got to get those holes. That's a lot of holes, though.
Yeah, a lot of holes. I think that's it, right?
Yeah, I think that's it. Free agent wide receivers don't look too good. So, yeah, that'll probably come through the draft.
Yeah, the Broncos are just, I don't know. You do a lot more draft stuff than me. Get me excited about a quarterback that's not named Tua Tagovailoa, because I watched him and I frankly don't get the hype.
What?
I am not a draft guy, as you know. You are a draft guy. I've watched some Tua this year. I don't find him that exciting. What are the quarterbacks available who aren't Tua, and why should I be higher on Tua? Because I don't think he's that good.
I think Tua, I mean, he's talented. You know, there's some of it that is a system thing. But the only other quarterback that I think is comparable with Tua is Justin Herbert out of Oregon, and I'd be fine with bringing him into Denver too. Those are both two good guys. You got guys like Jacob Eason. He's okay. But those guys aren't on the level of Tua. I think Tua's ability to, you know, he's mobile. He can make plays with his feet and with his arm. He's got a beautiful throwing motion. And he's smart. He's a really smart football player. He's a winner too. And that's a lot of people – that's what everybody overlooked with Deshaun Watson. And it might not be going that good right now for the Texans. But just wait. Be patient. You know, Deshaun Watson was a winner in college, and Mitch Trubisky went 2-10. I would have drafted Deshaun Watson. The Bears drafted Mitch Trubisky. It's just how it worked out. I like winners, and some people don't. But, you know, oftentimes that winning translates to the NFL. And I think Tua is just the best quarterback overall in the class. And I'm not alone in that argument. But it's interesting to see if it is all system. I don't believe it is. But that'll remain to be seen wherever he gets drafted.
All right. Okay. Well, thanks for coming on, man.
Appreciate no problem. It. Thanks for having me.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you for listening to me commiserate about the Broncos for a little while. They obviously have lots of problems, and it'll be time to fix them soon. The season cannot end soon enough for Broncos fans. I am ready to start taking – and that may be part of Tuesday shows is finding new teams for me to root for, because I do not want to watch the Broncos every week. It is too sad. I will watch them on Game Pass. I will get sad on Monday. But anyways, we will see you guys next time. Peace out.
Peace.
Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.